Good morning and welcome to Kol Yom Rishon. It's really a pleasure to participate in this initiative, which I think has great promise. And I believe that those who are coming will gain tremendously from a series of shiurim by very important people on important topics. And I'm very happy that I was asked to participate in this small way in this project. Harav Shechter Shlita approached me this week and said he spoke last Sunday and it was tremendous. And he gave an introduction to the Mishnah Berurah and the laws of Shabbos because the yeshiva was learning Shabbos this year. And he asked me if I would continue along where he left off. Now, how to find that is a little bit problematic. So I decided that since he did with you, I believe, Siman Reish Mem Beis last week, that I would begin with something in Siman Reish Mem Gimel and then proceed to analyze it from a somewhat broader perspective. In Siman Reish Mem Gimel, we learn the beginnings of the laws of Amir La'akum, which is the topic of today's year. Amir La'akum, yes. I don't even have one for myself, to tell you the truth. I don't know where they all are, but I guess that we ran out is a good sign. They apparently ran out of my McCombs already for the term either.
I'll try to get more.
So if you bring as many as you can, you can make at least 10 at least necessary, if you can find. Okay. So in Reish Mem Gimel, at the very beginning of the Siman, those who have the my McCombs, please look in. The Shulchan Aruch says that it's a problem. In a certain situation, nimsa the fourth line shehaeinu yud of the Shulchan Aruch shehaeinu Yehudi osam malacha b'shlichuso shel Yisrael. There's a problem if a non-Jew is doing malacha on Shabbos b'shlichuso as an agent of a Yisrael. Says the Mishnah Berurah, hey, v'zeu isur gamur is an absolute prohibition, as it says in many places in the Talmud. Amira le'ema Yehudi shavus, the famous expression Amira le'nachri shavus, and not only that. This is something which is a nifal form. Malacha should not be done on those days. Even if you're not doing it yourself, it's being done for you. It is a very serious problem. And now if you look in the Sharatian, it gets only worse. In the Sharatian Zayin, it quotes the Beis Yosef. It comes from the Mechilta. And the smag is in doubt, the spooky misapkele, ulai udrasha gemura. Maybe it's a real din min haTorah, a Torah prohibition, if a non-Jew does work for me as my agent on Shabbos. Mikola poskim mashma, duhu rak midrabbanan. It's only midrabbanan. I once had a balabas in my shul, did always objected when I use this expression. I used to say in my shirim, it's only midrabbanan. So you right away recoil, as if, you know, only midrabbanan means they can just ignore it. Well, in the academy, in the yeshiva, we can use those expressions for sure. Only midrabbanan. You have to be able to analyze what's minatar, what's midrabbanan. It's not to say that if it's midrabbanan, we should just take it lightly and ignore it. But it is only rak. Of course, that's a verbatim translation. Rak midrabbanan means it is only midrabbanan, and this pasuk is just what we call an asmachta. It's not a real drasha gemura. That's what we assume now, though. Good. So now, let's analyze what's the nature of this prohibition. So there were really two separate and distinct strands we have to analyze, and by analyzing these two strands, there are a few more copies, and those that don't have, please take. By analyzing these two strands, we'll be able to distinguish between them and arrive at certain halakhic conclusions and analyses, which I hope you will find illuminating. Let us begin. What is the halakha if I tell a non-Jew on Friday to do malacha on Shabbos? Very common scenario. Is it permissible or is it impermissible? What are you shaking your head?
No,
not allowed. That's what we assume. It's not allowed. And the reason is obvious. Doesn't matter when I tell him. What matters is when he does it on my behalf. And if he does it on my behalf on Shabbos, he's my shaliach, he's my agent. It's irrelevant whether I told him to do it on Shabbos or I told him to do it on Friday or on Sunday. So it's irrelevant. He does the work for me on Shabbos. That is a problem. That is a problem. And as a matter of fact, the Talmud seems to indicate this by saying you may not send a letter on Friday with a non-Jew for delivery on Shabbos in certain circumstances. Fine.
Fine.
Good. Now, it's fascinating that this halacha, it's not completely clear what the source is. One source is this idea of sending a letter. But yet there were those who say that's not a good source, because there is, if you look in the Gemara Meshech, the Shabbat after your test, it tells us that there was a certain tzaddik that non-Jews would never have his letters, would never put send letters in the post office, for fear that somehow or other would end up on a Shabbat somewhere or other. So you see clearly he didn't just follow a din, he was following a much more strict standard, and perhaps even the prohibition against sending it in the first instance is only a stricter standard. It's not really an absolute proof that you may not tell a goy on Friday to do something on Shabbos. So the Magid Mishnah on the Rambam, who says this prohibition, says there's a source, mimokom acher, some other source. It never tells you what the other source is. It's a puzzle. It's a puzzle. So I believe that you might find surprising that the real source, this other mokom acher, is not in Masechta Shabbos. It has nothing to do with Shabbos, really. It has to do with Masechta Bava Metzia. Because the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia and Av Tzadi has the following question. We know the Torah says, "Lo satzim shor b'disho." You may not muzzle an ox. And the Gemara has a discussion, can I ask a goy to muzzle an ox for me? My ox will thresh, you the goy, muzzle the ox. A good question, huh? Certainly a legitimate question. That's the question of the Gemara, Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Tzadi. Ask the Gemara as follows. Do we say, Amir l'nachmi shvus only applies to Shabbos, which is an Issur Skila, a serious prohibition? But lo sas and shor b'disho, which is only a lo sase, a plain lav, not? Or no? Or there's no difference? So we see clearly from this Gemara that there's just a problem of shlichus, of agency. Because after all, there is no other prohibition that we can imagine with respect to lo sas and shor b'disho. Contrast this with Shabbos itself. When it comes to Shabbos itself, there's an entirely different prohibition which may lie at the root of many of the cases of Amir l'nachmi shvus. Could anyone in this room suggest what it may be? What may be a potential problem in most cases of Amir l'nachmi, which has nothing to do with lo sachtam shor v'disho, which has nothing to do with shlichus? Anybody? What say? V'daber dover. Excellent. You saw the Maram HaKomos, you saw a discussion of v'daber dover, a pasuk in the Navi Yeshaya. We named it just about a month ago on Yom Kippur. It's the Haftarah of Yom Kippurim, and we are taught that lo yedibrucha shel Shabbos kedibrucha shel Chol. Again, to save time, I'm not going to be all the makoros. You may have seen them. You're not supposed to say on Shabbos that talk about malachas that are going to be done after Shabbos, irrespective of any commandments to a non-Jew. That's not to be even in the sense of a command. You're not supposed to tell your friend, tonight I'm going to write a letter. You shouldn't do that. Tonight I'm going to drive my car to the city. Because you're talking about on Shabbat, about a malacha you're going to do after Shabbat. That's not appropriate dibur. Dibur shel Shabbat should not be like dibur shel Chol. That's by definition. Whenever you tell a guy, Mr. Jones, put on the light, you have a problem with dabur dabur. But if it's v'daber dover, one thing is clear. If you tell him on Friday, there's no prohibition of v'daber dover. I'll ask you another question. Can you tell a guy on Shabbos to put on a light on Sunday? What do you say? No, why not? V'daber dover. So you have three different cases. If you tell him on Friday to do it on Shabbos, you tell him on Shabbos to do it on Sunday, or you tell him on Shabbos to do it on Shabbos. If you tell him on Friday to do it on Shabbos, what problem do you have? Shlich. You tell him on Shabbos to do it on Sunday, what problem do you have? V'daber dover. You tell him on Shabbos to do it on Shabbos, what problem do you have? Both. You have two problems. You have two problems. Okay. Fine. It's interesting that the Or HaRuah, one of the great Rishonim, we'll look it up in Siman Pehei, suggests that perhaps it's permissible to tell a guy on Friday to do Malach on Shabbos. Apparently, he's only concerned about Amir l'nachmi shvus. He took the word Amir literally, v'daber dover. But he's not so concerned with telling him on Friday to do it on Shabbos. What about the letter story? That's a unique case. He doesn't go for anything else. That's what he says. Apparently, we hold, as the Poskim used an expression, Ein shlichus l'nachri. Those who learn shlichus, you have a shlichus in Bava Vatiyah and Kiddusha, no, atem gam atem, yes. We assume the halacha that we saw in the Mishnah Brura, the nature of Shulchan Aruch, the nature of shlichus, we assume that the pasuk called yesh shlichus l'nachri l'chumra. There's a rabbinical stringency that if a guy does something on your behalf, we give it a status of shlichus. Okay? Fine. Fine. Now we come to a fascinating point. When I grew up, I was taught you can't tell a guy anything on Shabbos, but you can hint to him. Any kind of hint you give him that's how we grew up. You can hint. If you do it in a hint, there's no problem. Well, you know, that's a little dangerous. That's an overstatement. Let's take a look. Let's analyze these halachas of hints and see what, in fact, they really are. So let's open up now to the Shulchan Aruch. I think you have Makoros in Simen Shin Zayin Siv Beis. Simen Shin Zayin Siv Beis. Okay. Based on a Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Also, Liskar Poland. You can't hire workers. But Lolomon and Yehudi, Liskar Poland, Bishabbat. You can't even tell a guy to hire workers for you. Does everyone have the place? Simon Shin Zion Siv Beis? Okay. Vafilu, I'm skipping a line. Vafilu Lomal al Kodam al Shabbat al Hilzah Bishabbat also. You can't tell a guy on Friday for Shabbat. Have you already learned? Avamut al Lomal al Akar Shabbat. You can tell a guy on Sunday or on Friday. Why do you do this there, Shabbos? Hey, here we go. You're allowed a hint? Right? There's some truth to it. You're allowed a hint in certain instances. It's only what we call a remez. Take a look at Mr. Brewer Yud. I hope you have it. Mr. Brewer wrote a loma, Afil Hachi Mutter, Kevin She'ena Omala Beferish Rak Derech Remez. It's only a hint. He is. Velo Dami, Lemasha Kotzav Ramo Bahagav Besif Chavbeis. On your last pages in the Koran. Tafil Derech Remez Lachos B'Shabbos also. Even a hint is prohibited. Hosam Shemiramez Lo B'Shabbos Gufo Al Zechomet Vez. You're allowed a hint on Friday, but you can't hint on Shabbos. What's the difference? Now, you should be able to figure it out based on our previous analysis. Why is it permissible to hint on Friday, but not on Shabbos? Apparently, these kinds of hints overcome the shlichus issue. If you want to make an agent, you got to tell the split, not with a hint. So if you use a hint, he's not considered to be your agent. So that's okay. But the minute you say, you know, why did you do this last Shabbos? What is this? A malacha or something prohibited. Why didn't you put on the light last, you know, you tell him on Shabbos. Why didn't you put on the light? I'll give you a more practical case. Jones, why didn't you turn off the light last Saturday night? I woke up on Sunday morning and the lights were on the whole night. What did you do over here? You see, the caretaker is supposed to turn off the lights after everyone leaves on Shabbos. The minute you use the expression, turn off the light, and you said those, you uttered those words on Shabbos, you're already in a prohibition. You came and said yourself, you know, Chaim, I'm going to turn off the lights after Abdullah. Even that you can't do. So how much more so are you prohibited from doing it if it has a practical purpose in having a guy do it after Shabbos is over? You with me? So therefore, any hint that mentions the prohibited action, even if it's done in a roundabout way, is going to be prohibited to utter on Shabbos. But, since there's no direct agency, it may be uttered in this fashion on Erev Shabbos or on Sunday, as the case may be. Is it clear? So we understand very well the Zimt of the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Shin Zayin Siv Beis and the words of the Mishnah Brura in Sivkot and Yud on this basis. Is there ever going to be a case in which a person may even hint on Shabbos for something to be done on Shabbos? Well, you have to overcome two things. You have to overcome the problem of shlichus, which is not so difficult to overcome. But you're always going to have to overcome what problem? V'daber dover. How do you do that? Well, the Mishnah Brura tells us how to do that. Take a look on that last page. That's Sivkot on Ayin Vov. Ayin Vov. On Ayin Vov. It's the very last two lines, at least in my print, in the Mishnah Brura line on here. with a little pei zayin it. Ask is Omar or Mido any Yehudi shalobul shon tivut to go and shomer haner eno meir yofe o eni yochel likros for haner azeh sheyesh lo pechon the shomer any Yehudi matakno shari the ein zeh bechval amira. Give a more practical case. I tell the guy by mistake the light was left on in my bedroom. I said to the guy, I can't fall asleep. Sorry. Too bad. But if he has a cup, he'll understand what he's driving at, and he'll turn off the light. Now, in this case, there's clearly no bedaber dovi. He didn't mention any prohibited action in Malacha. Not only that, you can't view him as your agent. An agent is someone who you tell him straight. Here, I didn't tell him straight. I didn't mention anyone in Lama Tetz Malacha. I just said, I can't fall asleep. So that's permissible. So yes, there are certain hints which are permissible on Shabbos for Shabbos. But there's one caveat, which is you find just in the last few words of the page. The aim less on mitam shenena mimalacha sha'az on the page ends. What that means is it's up over and above the prohibition of telling a guy to do something on Shabbos. There's an additional prohibition of having benefit from that which a guy did for you, even without any instruction whatsoever. You walk into a dark room and a guy puts the light on, you may not read from that light, by that light, because otherwise it was pitch black. So the Mishnah Berurah is about to tell us on the other page, in this case you could have read even without what the non-Jew did. So if you had a little bit light, make it a little bit easier for you. So that's not considered halakhically hanor from what he's doing. So again, the more common case for us is turning the light off. Turning the light off is not considered hanor because it's a negative. It's just, we view darkness, except for in Mitzrayim, darkness is just the absence of light. So therefore, it's a negative. It's not considered a prohibition of Hanok. That's a common case. Halacha l'maisa. The light from my mistake, tell the guy, I can't fall asleep. That's permissible. So again, to review. Yeah?
What if the guy says to you, do you want me to turn the light off?
Can't say.
Not
answering. Not even
no?
To answer no, he'll walk out. That's no chachma. So you say, yeah, you repeat it 100 times. I can't fall asleep. His father gets the hint.
You
have to say thank you. Yeah.
What would be wrong in saying I can't fall asleep with the lights on?
It's also good. Yeah, I can't fall asleep with the lights on. That is, I'm sorry. Yes.
I'd love to discuss with the Muslim when it's not Shabbos, is you say to him, you know, sometimes on Shabbos I leave the light on. I come to you and say, I can't fall asleep with the lights on.
That means you turn it off. That you just ruined it. You gave code words. The Mishnah Berurah says you had a code word. You can't tell a guy to blow his nose on Shabbos, to wipe his nose. If you mean by that is, he should remove the little char from the top of the candle. Anything which is, not only that, but this trick only works on a random basis, occasionally. It does not work on a regular basis. How so? That same Gemara in the Temple of Messiah tells us a story of individuals who want Goyim to do their dirty work. Let me just spay a cat. You know, it's a prohibition in the Torah about Shem Los Aslan. So there's a discussion there in the Gemara, can you do it through a Goy? So the Gemara says, look, yeah, maybe it's mutter in some cases, but you can tell the whole story. Then the Gemara has a story where the Goy did it once, and then suddenly the Jew decided, hey, this is good, this works. He let the animals out again, and the Goy did it a second time. So the Gemara says, now you're ready playing games. It's clear, as the Rosh calls it in the Sechta Shabbos, he is your shliach. Even if you never said one word to him, if you have an employee, every single week he puts the lights on, and he turns the lights off, and then puts the lights on, and turns the lights off. You never said one word to him. He understood it, he intuited it, he figured it out on his own. He is your shliach, it's not allowed. That's explicit in Shulchan Aruch. I don't have it in front of me, you can look it up. You don't have it, I have it in front of me. You don't have it in front of you. It's in Simon Shin Chof Hei, where we are taught that although in some of these situations in which a person does not say explicitly what's going on, it's alright, but not if it's done on a regular basis. If it's done on a regular basis, then it's prohibited. It's construed as your shaliach. That's what's found in Simon Shin Chof Hei. So therefore, I'm a big opponent of shul that have non-Jewish caretakers putting lights on and off and on and off and on and off. I don't understand it. And I think we should volunteer here today in this room to conduct an appeal to buy a Shabbos clock for any Jew that can afford to pay for the caretaker, but can't afford to buy a one-time expensive Shabbos clock. You figure out the economics. I can't. And I'll tell you another secret. My shul, we have a Shabbos clock. They started leaving the lights on all night. People used to come in and learn all 20 hours. How much does it cost the fluorescent lights on a whole night? I mean, it has to be on a whole day anyway. The shul that's well used, let's leave it on. This way, a guy wants to come in the night to learn. He has the lights on. I don't know the exact economics. I don't think it's anything of any significance whatsoever. Yes?
The other coolio we hear about, in addition to Remez, is Mitzarchi Tzibur.
The Tzarchei Tzibur. Yes, it is true. The Poskim do say that for Tzorech Rabin, if it's for the absolute need of a community, you may instruct a non-Jew even to do a Malachim and a Torah. That is quoted. For example, if the Eruv falls down. So the Poskim say you may tell a non-Jew to tie a knot if that's necessary to fix the Eruv. That's also quoted. It may even be in one of these Torahs somewhere where that is. Even on Shabbos.
Would that be blanket for any
malacha?
I mean,
that may apply to any malacha, but there's a big but over here. The reason for that is as follows. That it's such a tremendous need, and there's absolutely no other alternative than we rely upon it. For example, let's turn to you have this as well. Simon Shin Zion Sipe. Take a look together. Simon Shin Zion Sipe. It says as follows. Dover She'ena Malacha. Everyone see the place? You don't have Shin Zayin Tepeh?
Back side.
Okay. This is a very famous quote of the Rambam. Dover She'ena Malacha Ve'ena Oso La'Soso B'Shabbos Ve'ena Shem Shvus. It itself is the Rabbanim. Mutal Yisro Lomala Ena Yehudi La'Soso B'Shabbos. This is the famous Shvus. Het of Shvus to Shvus. B'Makom. Holy, or mitzvah, or hetzer, or gadol, or hefzer, etc., etc. The Esh Ostrim says there are those of us who deny this dispensation. And then it says in the last line, the Ramah, Yesh Mekilim, Afila the Malacha Doraisa. There are those who say that you can even tell a god to do a Malacha Doraisa, B'makom mitzvah. That's the famous view of the Baal Ha'itur. That's a view which the last line of Mishnah Berurah says, Yesh lahachmir b'zeh. It's only a das yechidah. It's only a very, very minority opinion. We have no right to rely upon that in general terms. To have a goy do a d'oraisa b'makom mitzvah. However, if it's what's called a takola d'rabim, if it's something, a case in which we're afraid that the entire people will carry without an eruv, then the Mishnah Berurah says that may be done. So there are those who may want to stretch it to allow the guard to put the lights on in the shul on Shabbos. There are two reasons why it's not a good extension. One is, there's an obvious solution over here. Would you allow a guard to put the fixed air every Shabbos? It was in a free case, it fell down, there's no alternative. I agree with you. If the lights went off by some fluke, some mistake, you have a Shabbos clock, and it malfunctions. Can happen. So then we can argue that we can have a guy put on the lights. I would myself do it, especially if lights are fluorescent. Fluorescent lights, there's a possibility, we have over here in the room. A fluorescent light, the light itself, the gas, is not a real bulb, it's not really fire, and therefore that's not a daraisa. The problem is the starter. The starter apparently has a little tiny bit of spark of fire, which is a problem, but according to some Rishonim, we could perhaps view the starter as only what we call a psik ratio. I'm not telling you to put on the starter. The starter doesn't help me at all. I want you to put on this beautiful fluorescent light that spans the whole room. Even though the starter is a prerequisite, an indispensable one, for the gas of the fluorescent to go on, that may be viewed as only a psik ratio. Look in the Ramban, in the Sefer Shabbos Ayin Dalet of the base, in contrast to the Ritva, just if you those who want to look up the more Makoros. But that's a possibility. Again, an emergency, but on an everyday basis, every Shabbos, in and out, to rely upon this very difficult hetzer when you have an easy alternative, that to me is a problem. I know it's established in many synagogues, and I know it's hard to rock the boat, but it seems to me that if you make an appeal and offer to pay for it, then maybe some of the shuls might be more forthcoming. Yes? Sorry.
Second, what is it again?
Sorry.
The first reason why is because it's on a regular basis. And what was the second reason?
You want to know the two reasons why it's not the same as the Eruv. Oh yeah, the second reason is, the Eruv, if you don't fix it, people are going to do an Aveir on Shabbos. In the shul, you don't put on the lights, they'll be angry at you. So either they'll read by daylight, or worst case, they won't read at all. So, it's not shul Shabbos. Yeah, I'm talking on a theoretical sense. I know that you're going to get fired from your job, and there'll be a taram and a tumult, but in principle, we have to analyze these things on a principle basis. Yes.
Isn't there a level that the Arab is kosher Arab Shabbos that it lasts the whole Shabbos? Why
yes.
Is it fixed on Shabbos?
Oh, it's a chazak. It's only a chazak. If it doesn't stay on your eyes, then it's wrong. Every behemoth is a chazak that's kosher. If you see it broke its leg, you say, oh, it's a chazak. Animals are all shalim. You see it broke its leg. Right? There's a wire fell down right in front of you. We don't look for trouble. You're right. We don't look for trouble. There are some troubleshooters, but I never look for trouble. Yes.
Shabbos.
Yeah.
So you make early Shabbos and you notice something, and there's someone on your block who's Jewish.
Yeah, you can tell them. You can tell them.
You can't tell them.
It's better to tell them in a way which would not bother the Davar Dover, though.
So Beremez.
Yeah, Beremez, you can certainly tell them. But if it's straight out, it's a problem with Davar Dover, which may be permissible in certain circumstances. I have two more points I want to make. I'm not going to make it until 11, but I started late. So we have a little bit of a cushion. Yes.
In the same, how about the Beremez apply again?
Yeah, more or less. One issue I want to take issue a little bit with the Shmir Shabbos Gil Chosra. It's one of the fantastic sefer. He has a couple of program on this topic, Perek Lamed especially. This dispensation that we have to utilize a remez, but not a remez which just tells you what you need. I can't fall asleep, but a remez which mentions the verb. Why didn't you do this last week? That we saw the Shulchan Aruch was matir and Shin Zayin Siv Beis, well as he matir it. You're talking about it on Sunday, and you're going to do it next Shabbos. The Shemir Shabbos permits that in the opposite case as well. You can do it on Shabbos, you can tell him on Shabbos, so you can do it on Sunday. He says, parallelism, right? Shabbos and Shabbos is the worst. But Friday to Shabbos and Shabbos to Sunday should be the same thing. And in my opinion, that's not necessarily true at all. This follows the logic. Once you mention the verb, you're dead on Shabbos, even if you're not telling him anything. I'm not allowed to say myself, I'm going to write something tonight. So how does the Shemir Shabbos allow you on Saturday, to give the expression, just to make it clear, on Saturday, to tell the guy, well, why did you do this last Sunday? The minute you say this, why did you put on the light or off the light, you're already in violation. But where do you get it from? The Shemir Shabbos is a very big Talmud Chacham. I know him personally, it's a tremendous tzaddik to boot. So where did it come from? Came from over here. Take a look in Sif Chav Beis. Take a look. In the Rama, the last three lines. Kol Dover. She'osur lo malayinu Yehudi lasosa b'Shabbos. Osur lirmoz lo lasosa. Even the hint is prohibited. Look at the next five words, six words, seven words. I don't know where I am in your sources. I'm in Sif Chav Beis in the Rama. In my print, it's the next to the last line on the page. I'm not sure in your print. Okay. Aval muster lirmoz lo lasos malacha achar Shabbos. Hey, here it is, explicit. You may hint to him to do the malacha after Shabbos. What kind of hint are we talking about over here? We're talking about the kind of a hint which is prohibited on Shabbos. So obviously, it's not that I can't fall asleep. It's the kind of a hint which mentions the verb of prohibition of malacha, and nonetheless, the Ramah seems to be permitting it on Shabbos for Sunday. So how can I have quote tainus against the Shemir Shabbos, just quoting a Rama? But it's against my whole analysis at first glance, is it not? So, let me answer you. The source is Aleph Zayin. I know what Aleph Zayin stands for? Or Zeruah. If you look at the Or Zeruah, he's not discussing one of the Lama test Malach. No. He says, when the word Malacha means work, in a colloquial sense, the work means something like babysitting. Not one of the Lama Tess Malach, to be a babysitter. A lot of other work that we do does not constitute Malach. So you can say to someone, why didn't you come babysit last Saturday night when I needed you? They're going to come this Saturday night. But you never mentioned one of the Lama Tess Malach. That's why it's okay. That's my understanding of the Halach, which would be against the author of Shemir Shabbat K. Kilchot. To defend him, you want to defend him any time?
Does the Rabbit ever apply to saying something in past
tense? Oh, very good question. Obviously it does. That's what we saw earlier. Why did you come last week? That's what we saw in Sif Beis, right? We said, why did you come last week? That's okay. But it's only okay after Shabbos. See, I said? Avamut alam alo after Shabbos. Lamalo asisa dava kona b'Shabbos Shabbat. Implying that on Shabbos, would not be allowed. What's the difference? The difference is that it's v'daber dover, even though it's past tense. You follow? Shinzayin Shizbeis. Huh? You have a different shot? I don't mind, I'll hear it
right
now. Not right now. If you come back to me, and whoever gives next week will have to say over in Eitan's name that he slugged me up, I love it. The Talmidim come and they outsmart the Rebbe, it's the Rebbe's greatest joy. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Okay, I hope, Eitan. Okay. To defend Rav Noivet Shlita, the author of Shemir Shabbos Gokhasa, I think I have a defense for him, although it's not so great, but it's along the lines of what Eitan said. The explicit prohibitions that we have against speaking v'daber dover is future tense. I will do this. What you may not do, is say, I will write a letter. But let's say I say, I wrote a letter to Chaim on Tuesday. Hetzer Gomer. Why did Hetzer Gomer? I'm using the word write. You know what it's called? To quote the Mishnah Berurah, which most of you probably don't have, it's in Sifkot and Chav Zayin, Chav Ket, Chavav and Chav Zayin. It's called Cheshbono Shom Mavata. It's an irrelevancy. I wrote a letter, I baked a cake yesterday. Who cares? I'm not baking another cake. I wrote a letter, I'm not doing it again. That is permissible. So perhaps the Shemir Shabbat holds like the way Eitan seems to intimate. Namely, that if I say something in past tense, even though it's relevant to the future, that relevance itself is not explicit. And therefore cannot be a violation of the Dabar Dabar. Eitan, that's what you wanted to say? Along those lines? Not exactly. Okay. But that's what I want to say, to defend the Shemir Shabbat. That does run a bit afoul of Siv Beis. And Siv Beis, you get an impression. I tell you, Lomo, Lo, Asisa, Dava, Plona, B'Shabbos, Shabbos, permissible only after Shabbos, not on Shabbos. That's also past tense. So that's why it seems to me that I would not rely upon the cool of the Shemir Shabbos Kukos. That's one comment. Now I have one more comment to make before we bring this year to a close, which is, how do you understand that Siv Hei that we learned before, Shvus to Shvus, the Mokom, it's very hard to understand it. You know, in Talmudics, we have to have conceptual analysis. Now, I can understand why a certain Rav, such as the Baal HaYitzah, would say that every Shavuos is mutter for a mitzvah. A mitzvah overrides the Yitzah Rabbanan of Amir Menachem. We saw that on our opening statement, it's only the Rabbanan. I could see that. I could also see what someone would say, that Shavuos to Shavuos is always mutter. I tell a guy to do a Rabbanan, it's a quote unquote. I can see that too. But what I have trouble understanding at first glance is if you take this strict position on each one of those cases separately, that means, that's how we pass on our law. Shvus to Shvus, to tell a guy to do a Rabbanan is prohibited, on the one hand. And on the other hand, we say, a Shvus to do a mitzvah, on a deraita, we hold against the Baal HaYitzah, is also prohibited. Suddenly you put the two factors together. It's a shvus, the shvus for a mitzvah. The Rambam says, quote of Shulchan Aruch, that it's okay. You know, we have a principle of mathematics. 0 + 0 = 0. Right? So if the heter, if there's no heter, zero heter, to do shvus b'makom mitzvah, which is what most authorities assume, and there's zero heter to do shvus to shvus when there's no mitzvah, then how does it somehow come together? A shvus to shvus for a mitzvah became suddenly mutter. That's my question.
Not zeros, really.
Not minus, it's a half. That's 0 + 0 = 1, but a half and a half equals 1. So we have to conclude the shiur a few minutes by analyzing why each one is a half. Okay, so let's analyze this one thing at a time. When it comes to the idea of mitzvah, what does mitzvah achieve? You take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot and Aleph, and Siman Shin Zayin, Sifkot and Aleph, where the Shulchan Aruch says, V'daber Dover. Read the Shulchan Aruch first. V'daber Dover. Shlo ye dibrucha shol Shabbos ki dibrucha shol Chol. Hilkach os to loma dava ploni es alamocha. Right, a Torah plonis ek nelamocha. This you may not say. Okay. What about for a mitzvah? What for a mitzvah? If you look at the very last line of Mishnah Berurah and Tikkun Aleph, he says, "Kol is our mitzvah shari." For a mitzvah, it's permissible. I'll tell you why. It's a very simple why. We say in Zniris, Chafetzecha Asurim, right? Right? Chafetzecha Asurim, right? But what? Okay, right. But what? Ulishade Chavonos, you all know that, all the girls around the table got a little bit, you know, red, you know? Ulishade Chavonos is permissible to talk money. It's an event. It means red a shidduch. That's obvious. In those days, Ulishade Chavonos meant cash. How much are you going to pay? Cash. So you talk about money. It's permissible to talk about money for a mitzvah of Shidduchim and other mitzvahs on Shabbos for a simple reason. As the Gemara puts it, Chafotzecha Asurim. And so cheftzah, the same puzzle, so cheftzah v'daber daber. Ho chefte shamayim, says the Gemara, is mutarim. The prohibition against speaking about malachas only applies to your own private needs, to make a living, or to make money, or to other needs that you have to go here or there. But chefte shamayim mutarim. There's no prohibition against speaking about a malacha you're going to do for the sake of a mitzvah. And what it means? Good. So that's what mitzvah achieved. It knocked out the prohibition of what we call memtzo chepcha v'daber davar. So v'daber davar is overcome by tzorach mitzvah. Now, let's go one step further. The Gemara had a question, as I mentioned earlier in the shiur, in the Sefer Bava Metzia and Avtzadik. May one ask a non-Jew to muzzle an ox while it's threshing or not? The Gemara never resolves that question. It's an unresolved question. What's the general principle with respect to unresolved questions? Take them. Unresolved. What do we do when we have unresolved questions? What do we do? Oh, if it's Doraisa, we're strict. And if it's Dirabanan, Rabbinic, we are more lenient. Now, here you have to be a little bit careful. The entire principle of Amir Lanakri is only Rabbinic, as we saw in our opening line. Yet we're strict. The answer is true. The prohibition against Amir Lanakri is Rabbinic. But it's what we call in our language Ikro Midoraisa. The prohibition itself, that of muzzling an ox, is Minat Torah. So we are strict with respect to all areas concerning that prohibition, even if it reduces to a Rabbanan through the idea of Amir Lanakri. Everyone needs Havah? So now, what if I find you a case with what we call Ikro Midoraisa? The prohibition, even if the Jew himself did it, would only be on a Rabbinic level. Then, if you follow the principles of halachic psak, we would say, Sfeika de Rabbanon, a rabbinical matter, when we were in doubt, what do we do? Lekula. So now it comes out that what we say what? If you have a Sufay, which is unresolved in the Gemara, whether there in fact exists an Isser of Shlichus Lenochri Lechumra. The Gemara is not clear with respect to muzzling an act. There's no clear resolution. So with muzzling an act, we have to be strict. Shabbos, when there's an Issa Daraisa, we have to be strict. But when the entire Issa on Shabbos, even if I did it myself, would only be what? Midi Rabbanan. And now we have an unresolved question concerning whether I'm permitted to ask a guy to do it on my behalf on Shabbos. We play the rules, Sveika de Rabbanan Lekula, and we allow it to be done. So therefore, we should say that there's no prohibition of Shlichus in such a circumstance. Now put two and two together. Let's work it out. If you have a shvus, the shvus, when it's not for a mitzvah, you can't tell the guy, do this action on Shabbos. Because the utterance of do this action, even if it's a rabbinical prohibition, such as hiring workers, we saw, is not allowed. So that's not allowed. Okay. Now, to tell a guy to do a d'oraisa, right, put on a light of fire in order to allow a mitzvah to take place, is not allowed. Why not? Shlichus. Right, because it's a shalva d'oraisa. Okay, so those are both not allowed. You put the two together, and it's going to work out just fine. What does that mean? You tell the guy on Shabbos to do something, the rabbanon, for the purpose of a mitzvah. So as far as v'daber dover is concerned, what takes care of that? Mitzvah. And as far as yesh shlichus v'nachas l'chum is concerned, the agency problem, what takes care of that? The fact that it's only the rabbanon. Now I'll leave you with a chiddush gadol at the end. What should emerge, according to this analysis, is a remarkable cooler. Who wants to supply it before I say it?
Go
No. 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 Last chance. Last chance to say it. You can say it first. What if I tell a goy? Listen very carefully. What? What? No, no, no. We tried that again. A little different. No. No. What if I tell a guy? What if I tell a guy in the following case? On Friday, I tell a guy, listen, tomorrow do this action which is only with the rabbon. Easily happen. May I or may I not? No mystery though. Just straight. What'd you say? According to this logical analysis, it should be permitted. Because no daver dover, why? You told him on Friday. And there's no shlichas to share one of them right to be made. Now I gotta tell you, I thought of this on my own. And I found this in the Mishnah Lamelch. You can look it up yourself. In Perek Vav in the Shabbos Halacha Test, he quotes that somebody understood the Beis Yosef in that fashion. And he doesn't understand. How can it be? Well, why should it be so? I don't understand that. He tries to make proofs against it. But the way we said, it makes a lot of sense. And I have no time to tell you now, but the proofs against it can be refuted. So, just to recapitulate, we began our analysis by discussing Siman Reish Mem Gimel, which is right after Reish Mem Beis. And we started talking about the nature of the prohibition of Amir L'Nachri. We assume it's not based on the Pasuk, it's an Asmach at most. There are really two other prohibitions. One of them is Shlichus, one of them is V'daber Dover. There could be a case when you have both, Shabbos for Shabbos, either or, Friday for Shabbos or Shabbos for Sunday, respectively, right? And there could be differences when it comes to hinting maybe only in certain ways, and I had one version, and the Shavir Shabbos was a little bit against what I said, right? And then we had concluded that this could explain the half and half equals one, why Shavuot to Shavuot is permissible, but Mako Mitzvah, with a possible Chiddush, Lahalacha, that maybe even you wouldn't even need a Mako Mitzvah in the case which you're told to do the Shavuot before Shabbos began. Thank you for coming. Enjoy the Kol HaRishon for many weeks to come. If you tell them on Friday, they do it on Shabbos. Yeah. The Rabbana, not the right, the Rabbana. Whatever the Rabbana will be. Carry something in the street where there's no air, because you assume it's not, it's only the Rabbana for sure. But then as far as the Dabra Dabra, you told them on Friday, it's all the Dabra Dabra. And as far as the Easter, how are you?